Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
I got you now, bub.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and sometimes beyond, hosted by me, Robbie Earle, and by my longtime friend from work, Kyle Schoenewill. Now, people that have been listening to this podcast for long enough will know that we really began it with the intention of sharing this stories of the MCU with people that we thought would appreciate them, but that maybe for some reason had not gotten past a barrier of entry or barriers. And that's been something that we've been passionate about all along the way. Mm-hmm. It's something I think we've talked about even as we've gotten into phase four and phase five stuff. And today, we have the privilege of speaking with just such a person, but not just any such person. Kyle, do you want to tell us who we have on the show today?
So today is a melding, a mashup of my worlds here, if you will. We're going to be talking with one of my lifelong friends, quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins. In the eighth grade, this random Cousins family moved to my little town of Holland, Michigan. So in eighth grade, I quit soccer and played football with Kirk and basketball and baseball and all that. He also really liked music like I did. And so we just connected on a lot of levels. And then when he went to college, he went to Michigan State University, which is about 2 hours from Holland, or an hour 50 from Holland. And then I went to Belmont University in Nashville. And I think when you come from a small bubble town, Robbie, it's very uncommon to leave. Like, the thing is, you stay in Holland and you go to school there, and then you raise your kids there, and then the cycle repeats. And so I think when Kirk and I both went elsewhere, we didn't know anybody. And I think that actually got us closer, because I think while we were both not knowing anyone at college, we started connecting, and he started playing football and I started going to the games, and we got closer and closer through college because of that.
I remember when you and I were touring together, you would always step outside to talk about various things with Kirk, and y'all were unpacking games back when he was with Washington.
And his whole career, as it just took another step and another step and another step, just constantly blew my mind. Like, there was a moment where, like, oh my goodness, he's going to play college football? Wow. Oh my goodness, he's going to play Division I? Oh my gosh, he's starting? Oh my gosh, they're winning? Oh my gosh, he's going to get drafted? Oh my gosh, he gets to be a starter? And now here we are 12 years later as a starter in the NFL. And it just is wild to look back on. Outside of a few things in my life, following his journey so closely has been the craziest thing in my life. Like, if I could go, I'd go on for hours about all the craziness. But throughout that, as he's kind of risen in popularity, I think it's become easier and easier to lean into the people who knew him before, like the celebrity, if you will. And so we've been getting closer and closer throughout all these years, and he's been so kind to me. And so this is kind of a mashup, because he's not a huge Marvel guy. He's not a huge film guy. It's one of the things we have mostly disagreed on. We'll get into that in a second. But he called and said, I wanted to come on Friends from Work. And so I'm so grateful. This is going to be so much fun. And so without further ado, here is my friend, Kirk Cousins. All right. Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work. A very special episode of Friends from Work, because it's not every day that you get to talk to NFL quarterback Kirk Cousins. That's right. Kirk Cousins, welcome to Friends from Work. Let's go.
It's great to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's first time, long time.
Yeah.
You know, first time on, but long time fan of the show.
Well, this is our second Cousins to come on Friends from Work.
That's true.
Yeah. So
your brother has been a staple over here. So Kirk, before we dive into some of the Marvel hot takes, why don't you just take us through some of your generic film history? Like what were movies for you growing up? What franchises did you love? Talk to me about it.
Great question.
Thanks for asking. Glad you asked. I tend to appreciate true stories. I tend to appreciate history, nonfiction. Those are the kind of books I like to read, biographies. So movies follow that same space. I like.
Do you have a favorite biography or biographer?
I really enjoyed Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. Autobiographies are also great. So Shoe Dog by Phil Knight.
Nike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are many, many books. I just look up here at my bookshelf. I enjoy the Killing series by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard. Those are really good. A lot of true stories there. But I just go to the bookstore and go to like the business section and just look for people who were business people who had a career and then told the story about it. And I've really enjoyed reading their journeys. I do the same with football, sports, all that. I just like to read what people have done. But movies kind of the same way. I like to kind of hear people's stories. And obviously they're usually based on a true story. They're not the real thing. But I love it nevertheless. And
top five favorite sports movies.
Yeah, I'm shooting from the hip here. I didn't make an official list, but Remember the Titans is in my top five. I think the writing is what usually separates movies from being better than others. It's how well written are they, the lines. Remember the Titans is so well written. Miracle is also another very well written sports movie. Just the lines. Yes. It just is believable as an athlete. You've feel it. You're like, I can get behind that. Rudy, just personally Rudy. For me, I know that isn't going to be received by everyone well, but Rudy now for me means a lot. After that, it's kind of open season for those last two spots. I can be convinced of a variety of movies.
One of the things I think our listeners would find interesting about you, Kirk, is it fair to say that in general, movies weren't a huge part of your life growing up? Obviously, you were into music, you were into sports, and that took a lot of your time. So, a fascinating detail is you didn't watch any of the Star Wars films until, 10 years ago? 8 years ago? Like, in your 20s.
I did not watch the Star Wars franchise until I was in my 20s. Culturally, it was tough to miss it, if you will. Yeah, so I at least understood the nuts and bolts. Mm-hmm. But yes, I did not watch through it. And then when I did watch through it, I made a decision over a summer break to watch through it. So I at 8 a.m. Queued up the next one and just kept going and churned it out. I remember one time my brother, we were on a vacation when I was doing this, and my brother-in-law got up. It was 8 a.m. I'm halfway into episode 5. And I made a comment about Dooku. And I was getting kind of worked up about Dooku's role. And my brother-in-law just sits down in his pajamas with a bowl of cereal. And he goes, Kirk, Dooku, small time. Just relax.
Yeah, we've been saying
that. And so that's the famous line in our family that Dooku is small time. Kirk was getting way too concerned about Dooku in the narrative. He's small time. He's not going to hang around a long time. And a lot of times when we have it come up that somebody's small time, that kind of becomes the reference that, just like Dooku, Kirk, they're small time. Don't get too worried about them.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. But Lord of the Rings, did not see that franchise when it came out. Saw it much later when I was in my 20s. Then Harry Potter series, still to this day, have never seen a single movie. Have not read a single book. That's on me. I own that. And
of all those, two need to connect on Lord of the Rings for a minute at some point.
Well, but before that, I was curious, having not read or watched Harry Potter, I know that you are a big Disney World fan. Does that extend to Universal Studios? And if so, have you done the Harry Potter World stuff there?
Tremendous question. I was just going to say, while I have not read the books or seen the movies, I have ridden the rides. And Hagrid's. I have great respect for those rides. I think they're tremendous. And Hagrid's motorbike adventure needs to be ridden by every American at some point in time.
That's okay. When Kirk made the Pro Bowl, what was this, Kirk? 2019, maybe?
Winter of 2020, right before the COVID shutdown.
One of the insane things that the NFL does for the players and family and friends that get to go to the Pro Bowl is for a night, Robbie, they shut down Universal except for players, family, friends. So Kirk and I and a few people went and just absolutely crushed Universal. So I think Hagrid's was ridden, you know, two or three times. We got butterbeers.
I didn't know what we were walking into. They just said an event at Universal. So I'm thinking we're going to have to do all kinds of obligations and it'll be just like, get a Coca-Cola and head home. Mm-hmm. And we're suddenly walking through the park and the whole park shut down and there's no lines and they're telling us to hop on rides. And I'm going, I feel like a Make-A-Wish kid who isn't sick. Like, yes. I don't have a terminal disease, but I'm being treated as if I do. And I wasn't sure how I felt about that, but I gladly received the no wait and just started riding rides. So Hagrid's motorbike adventure was a, you know, two-minute wait at most, and normally it's obviously an hour and a half plus.
We're talking butterbeers in line, Robbie. Like, it was fully staffed still.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it was a while. So I would like to get going on at Lord of the Rings here because there are no rides in any parks that I'm aware of about Lord of the Rings. I wish that were different. But of those series, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings would be the one I most get excited about. I just feel like it has parallels to real life. I told you I like real life. I like biographies, autobiographies. Uh-huh. I feel like Lord of the Rings, though it's fantasy, has a lot of parallels that I really enjoy. So that's probably my favorite of those three franchises.
First question, of the three, what's your favorite film?
Two Towers. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's my wife's favorite, which is a good, Kyle and I were just talking about this in the context of the second Dune movie the other day, how certainly like the battle scene peaks with Helm's Deep in the second one, which is not to denigrate the third, but I'm a big Fellowship guy. I like that's
fair.
It's the only movie where we get to see the whole cast interact together. And I really like seeing Aragorn with the Hobbits and that kind of relationship, which I think we don't really, you know, most after that, it's mostly just the Hobbits getting in various kinds of trouble.
I think that's fair. I think setting the stage is phenomenal in Fellowship, and that would be my number two. And I think Return of the King, I was shocked that would be my third. When I watched through it, I thought it was just going to build, but I did feel like Return of the King maybe left a little bit to be desired.
What parallels have you found in your football career to Lord of the Rings? Because you have some good ones, I feel.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into this. I can't wait. Let's get into this. So first of all, I view the Shire as safety. As playing it safe, not taking a risk, not going on an adventure because you don't want to expose yourself to the potential of failure. But I view the journey and the adventure as what life is all about. And so we all need to leave the Shire. Okay. If we people do spend their whole life in the Shire, but I don't want to be about that. I don't want my boys to be about that I'm raising. Mm-hmm. And so we all love the Shire. It's a great place to be, but that's not what life is about. So I joke that, you know, the off season is my Shire, or going back to where I grew up is my Shire, but I don't live my life in the Shire. And then from there you go on to the adventure, and you know, life is this adventure. And then even in my football career, you know, someday the adventure is going to end. There's going to be a retirement. There's going to be an end of story. And that's when you either A, go back to the Shire, and then you eventually go to the Undying Land. So I just kind of always joke to the locker room about these stories and how, you know, if you had a tough loss, you know, which battle in the movies is this loss parallel? And then if you have a really tough loss, you know, what is that parallel? And it was just kind of a way to deal with the grind of football in a more humorous way, because we all grew up with those movies. And then just understand how you're doing it together. You know, it truly is, as the movie title says, a fellowship where you're not on an adventure alone. Obviously, the role of Samwise and how he's, you know, with Frodo, and it was Samwise many times who helped kind of him carry that ring. That was a reminder for me that you need great people around you to really do anything of significance.
And then just remember, if life ever gets super tough, when you just think you can't get out of it, some eagles can just pick you up and just drive you all the whole way. And just the so whole, there are the whole thing doesn't matter because the eagles just carry you wherever you want.
And the internet has addressed these. I think the eagles, you know, at the beginning of the first movie, picking up the guys that, you know, why couldn't we just fly to fly there to drop the ring in? That's a tremendous question. The card in the back pocket of, oh, I have these souls that I could just go get that could just fight the battle and win. I got this one card I can play at the end. It was like, you've been holding on to that this whole time? Like, wow.
Where was that in Helm's Deep?
I'm okay with you playing it at this moment. I just would have loved, like, in the first movie, can we make a reference to that? Like, hey, by the way, guys, we got that one card we can play whenever we want to. And then you're kind of aware of the fact that it's available to them. And then obviously the ring, you know, Samwise, you know, I think at one point he either takes the ring or at the very end, and you just kind of wonder, like, well, couldn't you have just put it on somebody and thrown it? There's just all these, you know. So anyway.
Although, you know, I think that is something that is, those nuances are handled better in the books, which is not me saying, oh, you know, everyone has to go read the books to really understand it. I just think that in order to simplify certain elements in a way that could fit the entire story into even just the 12-hour runtime of the extended versions, I think that they had to kind of condense. And I think that there are certain elements of the lore where it's not so much like, this is one thing that Tolkien does that I kind of appreciate, and I think used to be more frustrating for me. He's not a big, like, systems guy. Like, he doesn't lay out, like, this is exactly how this works. Yep. Like, this is the power that the ring gives you. Like, he really likes to, and this is why I think it does have more real life application to me.
It's not clean and neat and perfect, and you can't just plug and play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and everything has kind of gray area in a way that feels a lot more like he's not just writing something that he thinks will be applicable, but is writing out of his own experience. And you know, there's a lot made of Tolkien having fought in the trenches in World War One, and then finishing the trilogy as World War II was going, and he was writing that from England. And so, I mean, I do think that while he would fight a lot against it being considered an allegory.
Yeah, they do tend to push back on that, but it being an allegory to me is what makes it special to me. So I won't let him take that from me.
Well, I actually think that the beauty of it is he wants you to have that, but he wants you to have an allegory that is tailored to you. Well, I think the reason he pushes back against allegory in general is because if it said, hey, this is just a stand-in for World War II or for, like, this particular situation. Right. And it reduces that, like, universality.
I love that. That's well said.
Kirk, how many films from the Marvel Cinematic Universe have you seen, and what was your introduction to it? I mean, you saw the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man stuff before the Cinematic Universe, right? Like, when we were in high school, you were watching that, I thought.
So Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, I was in eighth grade, I believe. I went to it in theaters, one of the movies I actually did see on time.
Okay.
And I left going two thumbs up. Like, that was well done. Great storyteller.
Nice.
With great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. Like, that just hits.
Yes.
After that, took a while, and I watched Iron Man at, like, a gathering somewhere. It was not in theaters.
Okay.
And I remember seeing it and going, that's a good movie. Yeah. Like, I totally get why this was a blockbuster. Like, it's just good. Mm. It's done well. I think the second Iron Man might have been the second movie I saw in all the Marvel world. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And that would make sense.
And then I saw where the four of them get together. Is that the Avengers?
Six, yeah.
In theaters, I saw the Avengers. And that was supposed to be, like, this big one, like, build up, like, the Avengers. So I went with my brother and some friends and over the summer, I think. And I had seen the Iron Mans. I had seen the one Spider-Man. So I kind of had an understanding of what direction it was going. I had seen the Transformers, which is a separate world, but there's some similarities there.
Oh no, no. I hate that you said that.
And I watched it and I just, at the end, I was like, man, I don't know. I don't know. There was a lot going on there and there's a lot of property damage.
Full disclosure, whenever I've referenced, I have a few property damage friends, Kirk's one of them. And I didn't know
I was more than a group of one. I'm excited to think that there's more people than just me.
My wife is in that camp as well.
You see the memes online of like, you know, the Avengers save the city. And then it just shows a picture of like a totally destroyed city.
Yep. There it is.
But the thing about it though, Kirk, that I truly think if you gave it a shot that you would appreciate is that different than the other superhero genre, they actually do approach that topic. Like for example, in Spider-Man Homecoming, Tony Stark sets up damage control that is left to clean up all of this stuff and help govern it. And then in Civil War, like basically it's the world being like, this is not okay. Like you're saying you're fighting for us, but if you have no regulation, like who's to say when they should go attack? And so I think if you actually march through it, you would find that what makes Marvel different is that it is the, as Stan Lee says, the look outside your window. It's the most real version of, okay, if these things were true, if there was Thor, if there was a guy who created this suit or Captain America, what would it be like? And they handle that better than anyone else. So I feel like you would actually like some of it. I know your dad, by the way, loves Thor Ragnarok, for example. There's some random...
I think similar to like Iron Man is its own deal. Like that, if that never joined a world of Marvel, it's still an amazing story, an amazing movie, an amazing concept. So I feel like maybe I just need to find those Iron Mans. There are more Iron Mans within the universe that I need to engage with. I probably need to get the ones that you think I would most gravitate to as a result of knowing me. Oh. But it's been hard for me. I did see another one I saw in theaters over a summer was the Spider-Man with Tom Holland.
Homecoming
and Michael Keaton.
Yes.
And
you love
Michael
Keaton.
I came out of that one and I was like, I see why it's done well. I remember a half hour being like, this is good acting. This is good writing. Like this, but I get to the end and I just left and I'm like, Yeah. I mean, I don't know. So that's kind of where I stand.
You love Michael Keaton, though. That's the other thing.
Great actor. And I feel like even Tom Holland did a nice job. And I thought it was well written. And there was like a believability to the way they were interacting. But I felt like I was saying that 30 to 45 minutes in. And then when like 90 minutes in and you kind of need it to like really rock your world, I just kind of left like, all right, it was another movie.
I think he'd appreciate Civil War. I'm trying to think.
Captain America.
Yeah.
I thought Captain America and I were going to really connect.
Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. And I've gotten in a tough spot on Captain America because I'll like start it on a flight and I get like a third of the way in and then the plane lands.
Okay.
Or I just can't, or like the second one's on TV and I'll watch like two scenes and then my son comes in. So I just had a tough deal getting going, but, I would like to think that Captain America will register at some point.
It's one of the more grounded and like political type thing, which I think you would like. So
especially the second two. We've talked about, I mean, this is our first ever podcast episode was covering the first Captain America movie. Mm. And I like it. That's one that I like a good bit more than Kyle, while also understanding that like it is intentionally dated. Like they were trying to make a movie that felt like it was a World War II film to some degree, but it's kind of, you know, it's campy and colorful and comic booky.
Both you two would appreciate the sincerity of the character though, I think.
And that's what draws me to it it's what makes me think from this conversation and when Kyle and I have talked before, I feel like the sincerity of a lot of the Marvel films or properties.
Yeah, he would like.
I feel like that's what would draw you in.
I like that word. I like that word, sincerity. Robbie and Kyle, it sounds like there are more of me out there. I thought maybe I was one of one in terms of my take or my property damage problem and the sincerity issue and the... So, and the groundedness and it sounds like maybe there's a, there's a, there's a contingency of me somewhere that makes me feel better about myself. Is that true?
Two things. One, given the fact that it's the largest property in the world, we're already talking to the extreme minority. And then given the fact that the people who are listening to this are fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's probably a pretty small.
Do you think the listeners would say, I know him because I have a friend who is him? That's what I'm wondering. Do the listeners nod their head and go, yep, I hate that guy because I know him?
I do think
it's kind of a joke online. So,
I do think that you represent an important group, which is one that we always try to talk to on the
people
podcast.
Like
which
biographies
is,
matter.
Well, you are approaching it, I think, in good faith, and that's all that I'm ever pushing for is, you know, if you're going to sit down and watch a movie, sit down and watch it at least with an open mind and, you know, wanting it to be a good movie. I think what those conversations are always fun to me because I love hearing the things that do and don't work and do and don't click with people.
Like property damage.
Well, and like, I think that that's an interesting, you know, Marvel obviously realizes that to some degree because they did, like Kyle said, they started addressing that in certain movies. But I was curious, you know, when you're talking about your Marvel journey here, I think Kyle has mentioned before that you're a Christopher Nolan fan.
I think it's similar to the Marvel series where I say really, really well done. Many times I find the sound to be incredible. Sure. Mm-hmm. Dunkirk was incredible.
That's even historical. Did you love Dunkirk? That's a pretty much straight out of a
struggled with Dunkirk. I'm finding myself being very critical right now. So okay. I probably need to pivot back to some movies I love, but okay. I left Dunkirk going, like it's not moving the needle for me, but there were elements that were a wow. I can see why it might win awards.
Prestige? Prestige when we were in high school. Weren't you a Prestige guy?
Okay, so my teammates have killed me for years that I've never seen The Prestige.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking
of. It's like number 1, 2, and 3 of them. Like when I'll ask for movie recs, one of my teammates won't even give me a new movie rec because he'll say, well, if you haven't seen The Prestige, like I'm not going to give you another one because you need to go see that. He said, it's just incredible. So I've never sat down to watch that. Need to do that.
Robbie, Kirk's big into like
I've never seen the oceans.
You never seen Inception?
Wow! Oh man, that's triggering for Kyle.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie of all time. But that's not really his sequence either. Because that is, I mean, it's far out there as far as the mind bendiness. I don't think it'd be yours. But I don't want to, you know, put words in your mouth. Kirk is big into the Ocean series. Robbie.
Love the Ocean series. I like the balance of humor with like straight. Just like it's you could view it as a serious movie where they're like mm-hmm. like a thriller, but I like that it's actually more of a comedy and like that blend, that subtle blend I really like. I appreciate in that movie how it's so far-fetched, but they do it in a way where you're like, okay, maybe that could happen as opposed to being like, that would never happen. Like, they do it in a way where you're like, yeah, it's a reach, but that is actually plausible.
There's something about that though. It's like the way the movie has to set up the rules in your mind, then you can buy it. Cause like you like Star Wars and that's so, totally
the way I say it is,
and
no movie's going to do this perfectly, but the way I say it is set up your world, set up your rules and then stick to them,
which is what Iron Man does so well.
It flies in the face of, what we were saying about Lord of the Rings with Tolkien is he's going to say, no, thank you. Like you may want that. That's not what I want to do. That's not what I'm going to give you. And that's why we're debating some of the issues. But for me, it's give me this fictitious world that I don't get to live in. And then let's live in it. As opposed to we lived in it for 2/3 of the movie. And then to finish the movie the way you wanted to, we had to break those rules. That's where my mind doesn't work that way where I can accept that. I go, no, it would have been so cool if you had stayed with that system for the whole movie and then we had to live in that role. Then I could say, wow, look how they tied it all together with those rules from the beginning.
I appreciate that.
Oh, I
appreciate you appreciating that.
final movie thing. Kirk and I got together not too long ago, Rob, and we banged out a movie a night. We started with Count of Monte Cristo. Thoughts on that, Rob?
Jim Wait, are we talking Caviezel Guy Pearce or
Caviezel? Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that movie.
Yeah, we love it.
Big fan.
It went over well in the room.
Yeah, it was a win. Bridge of Spies. That's his kind of movie.
You know what? That is low key. But this is so weird because I've never watched it again. But that movie is at least partially responsible for me being a lawyer.
Really? Mm.
Yeah, Candace and I watched it.
Just like Rudy's partially responsible for me being a football player.
Hey, yeah, you know.
I think that I think that Spielberg. What I find with Spielberg when I watch his movies, Bridge of Spies, The Post, and Lincoln, is I just come away saying he did that so right. He told that story the right way. And he didn't overdo anything. He didn't oversend any specific message. He he got the right actors. He had them deliver the lines correctly. I want to sit down and have a conversation with Steven Spielberg because it's like, I don't know how you do that, man. Because if more people could do that, there'd be a lot more good movies.
You know what's so crazy about Spielberg too is he can do it so many different ways and in so many different genres.
Yeah, because
like genres for sure.
Yeah.
Well, he was literally making Jurassic Park and Schindler's List at the same time.
Yeah, that's
just he's just built different.
It's insane.
He's so special. Before I ask you a couple of sports questions from our listeners, Kirk, in closing, tell me a little bit more about your Disney World history. Why do you love Disney? Why does it play a role in your life? And what do you love about it?
Grew up there every year going to Disney World for spring break. We would stay in a little camper in Fort Wilderness there on the Disney World property. Obviously, like everybody else, grew up with the movies and the Disney Channel and the music. And so to this day, it has an impact, you know, even parenting my kids, you know, that's the songs we're listening to a lot of times in the house, in the car. But we wanted to get a home in warm weather because we live up north much of the year and we were looking in Florida and we ended up buying basically in Disney World. So we live there in the off season somewhat when we can get down there. And so that's brought us even closer to Disney World. And so we spend a lot of time there. And one of the greatest attractions, probably the greatest attraction at Disney World, is the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Yes. Rob, have you done it?
It's phenomenal.
I haven't been back in years.
Yeah,
it's it's one of their more intense roller coasters now is the Guardians one. It's pretty cool. There's like Celestials on the screen as you're going through this intense roller coaster. It's inside.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's inside. And depending on the day, you get a different song, right, Kirk? Or like per the ride.
Yeah, there's like six songs that play on the ride and you'll get one of the six when you ride it. And it's just a well-done ride, very unique, kind of one of one. And was really pleased with it. And Guardians of the Galaxy is another part of the universe I have seen the first movie, but with like 20 minutes to go, my flight landed.
No,
it was close enough where I was like, I got the gist. But
you like that one though? Question mark. That's one of the best standalone movies they've ever made. Like critically, box office, the whole deal. Yes.
I kind of take it back to what I've said about the Spider-Man Homecoming. It's very well done. Well acted, well written,
funny, great music.
Yeah. I think what it's missing is that I'm not wired to gravitate to it. That's probably it's not them. It's me. It's not you.
Well, you know? But have you seen the legendary photos of your brother?
Yes.
As Star-Lord.
Did you knew that obviously he was trying out.
I don't know what he told you guys, but I believe he turned it down. Like he got the job.
I think that's what he told us.
And I felt like for the rest of your life, that's a miss not to at least for like 5 months have just done it.
I mean, the build, the facial hair he has with that jacket looked pretty similar, dude. It looked
whatever
like
you were going to do with the 5 months, just push it out 5 months.
Yeah,
just be Star-Lord for like that. So, yeah, I think that
and he is wired that way.
Still think, I mean, I haven't, the ship hasn't sailed for me on him going back to Disney World and doing something on stage somewhere. I think as a grown man with kids, he should still consider that.
Robbie, it's funny. And in so many ways, they are opposites in that. Like, obviously, because you know, Kyle's been on the podcast, like detailing Thor Ragnarok with us. But Kyle is way more into like singing, dancing, although you like singing, but you know what I mean? He's way more into like the artistic stuff. So he would have done a great job with it.
We have a lot in common and there's a lot that's different about us. It's kind of that fascinating brother connection, which mm-hmm. we probably all have with our siblings. But yeah. And he's a guy, we've ridden a lot of Disney World rides together and the Marvel universe is probably something I don't have in common with him that sure. we miss out on a lot of conversation as a result.
But we'll get you there.
Yeah, that's true.
Again, that's on me.
That's on you. All right, Kirk, we asked a few of our listeners for some questions for you. I thought we got a few good ones here. It's obviously a really wild time for you. Robbie, I don't know how much you know about this, but Kirk is set to be a free agent here in like 10 days or so, whenever you're listening to this. So crazy time.
Seems important.
Yeah, yeah. Kirk, which athletes, and we can kind of make this lightning round if you want to, but which athletes inspired you the most as you were coming up in your football career?
What athletes inspired me the most? I was always a fan of football and a fan of quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks that I was watching when I was in middle school and high school were the guys that I actually ended up having to play against when I got to the pros, which was Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Wild. Drew Brees. So it was a little odd to be, you know,
yeah,
man.
I didn't have a poster of them on my wall, but it was that kind of a dynamic where there's a poster of them on your wall. And the next thing you know, you're having to go out there and play at their level and your team is supposed to beat theirs. So that was a unique dynamic, but most of those guys have since retired and, I do pattern a lot of the things I do or try to do off of how they did it and kind of use them as the standard.
What was it like your first time meeting some of these guys that you are competing against, you know, especially the folks that have a lot of years on you? When you first interact with them, is there kind of a strange...
Yeah.
You know, because you probably still do look up to them on some level, but you also have to get into the mentality of
your peers.
I am against this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. We joked at one time we were at an event in New York City the week of the Super Bowl and we were at breakfast and Drew Brees was staying in the same hotel. And so he came over and he recognized me. You know, we knew each other barely, a little bit acquaintances. And he said, "Hey, can I join you guys for breakfast?" Yes. And it was like, "Oh, no, I don't think so, Drew. This seat's taken. You can sit somewhere else." It was like, "Yeah, sure, Drew. You can join us for breakfast, of course." You know, yeah. So, and there was even at the Pro Bowl, like when you go to the All-Star game with it, you know, the guys that are there, you're technically a peer of theirs. You're all at the All-Star game, but some guys have a little more clout than others. And so there's a lot of like, "Hey, can I just pick your brain?" You know, because you know so much and have done so much. But, fun too as you get older in the league because now you get to be a bit of the elder statesman. You get to maybe pass on your knowledge to other people, which is also fun too. So it goes full circle a little bit.
What a weird thing that is. We're getting old. You're now becoming the person that we were referencing with Drew Brees. If you walk,
I sent someone a photo of our freshman football team.
Oh gosh,
and
9-0, Robbie, undefeated 9-0.
We were 9-0.
Wow.
Kyle was our leading receiver.
That's true.
But I said, that was 21 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, that's a little hard to take in that was 21 years ago. So, cause it just, you know, that feels like it was like 7 or 8 years ago. It was 21. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're getting old. It's the bottom line.
That's really weird,
man. Well, I'm right there with you.
Who surprised you more this year? The Lions or the Packers?
Lions didn't surprise me in the sense that everybody said before the season that they were the favorite to win the division, that they were loaded, had all the pieces. And then they basically just lived up to that hype and they you know, won two home playoff games that I really thought they were going to win both those games. And they probably played the Niners a lot better than I thought they would going on the road in the NFC Championship, getting up early. But the Packers, I think, surprised people late in the year, really the playoffs. And then the question is similar to the Lions last year, can they now build on that and be you know, more the team that they were in the back half of the season? And I think if they are, that's, you know, two good football teams right there.
Really, the irony is from the time you beat them on, they were insane post that game. Obviously the injury was devastating, but have you been able to find a silver lining? One of our listeners asked.
Yes, definitely. I think the injury opens up a lot of time. And so, you know, I was able to devote that time to other things. which when you're playing, you can't do. And one of them being family and my boys. And, you know, there are other things, injuries that I deal with that I play through, that when you then get hurt, you have time to not only work on that specific injury that's keeping you out, but also other parts of your body that are beat up that need time to heal too. Mm. So there were positives. I'm not going to say that they, you know, outshine the negatives, but there certainly were positives. And I did get into Legos quite a bit. So
that was a big
outlet for me. Time with my boys, we would go to the Lego store, we would get Legos, and then we would build and build and build. And I'm the kind of guy who I don't like to build and then tear down. So yeah. I don't like property damage. We've talked about this. So when I build property, I keep it intact. So when we build Legos, I said to the boys, like, we're only going to buy ones that once we build them, they actually may serve a purpose. Like, we could buy a Viking ship and it could float in the bathtub. Then let's get it, because then it can be like a bathtub. Or, and if it breaks in the bathtub, whatever. But at least we're finding a use for it after we build it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I found like a lot of Legos that I've been able to build, and like they become like, this is going to sound terrible, but like good house decor. Like, we have a little beach home, and I built the lighthouse that I set it up, and my wife thought I was going to be silly to set up a Lego lighthouse as decor. And my mom came in from visiting, and she walks in the house and she goes, "Where'd you get that lighthouse? That's really cool." I said, "Mom, that's just Lego. Like, I just built that.
I built that with my own hands."
Your grandsons and your son constructed that. And it looks good. It just looks like an awesome decor piece. And my wife actually said, she's like, "I got to give it to you. That one was pretty cool." And then we built the Lord of the Rings Rivendell.
That's what I was going to say. 6, to bring it, bring it full circle, during Count of Monte Cristo and during Bridge of Spies, we were working on Rivendell. That's a true story.
During the movie, and because it was 6,000 pieces, this is a little tip here for Lego people. If you want to ever build as a group, get a big set that has multiple books, because then you can give one guy one book, another guy another book, another guy another book.
Connect them all at the end.
And then you can connect them all later. So we were able to all kind of be working on it while we watched the movie, and it kind of gave us something to work towards. It was a lot of fun, but that was a blast. And that's become this cool decor piece in our basement, because it's pretty big. But again, when it's an allegory to your journey, Rivendell has a place and a purpose in the story. It's kind of fun. So they got that one. We built a Home Alone house with my boys over Christmas, which was awesome, which we'll put it in storage and we'll just bring it out every year at Christmas time. As you bring out Christmas lights, you bring out Christmas wreaths, we'll bring out this 4,000-piece Home Alone house. So it's a fun piece of decor that'll stick around for a long time. So we built a lot of sets that last a while.
These are all just steps toward the Millennium Falcon, Rob. I think there's like a 20,000-piece Millennium Falcon or something like that.
Oh, well, there's the Death Star going back to Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, there you go.
That's out there.
There you go. What are some of your favorite cities to visit on away games?
Great question. I love going to Chicago because downtown Chicago is cool. We don't get to see it, but the little 5-minute bus ride from the hotel to the stadium is kind of fun, just to see the water and the skyline, the architecture. It's a fun city. Detroit, I like to go back to, not really because of like the city visiting, but because of that's where I grew up, is Michigan. And so I know a lot of family friends will be at the game, and that's fun for me to kind of be back where I went to college and grew up. So Detroit is one I probably get more excited about than most people. And then I like going to warm weather in the winter. So like if we play at Tampa in December or at Dallas in December or LA in December, coming from Minnesota, I'm like, great, sign me up for some sunshine and 70 degrees when I've been used to negative temps in Minnesota.
You get $100 Kohl's cash. What are you going to spend it on?
Ooh, probably a nice pair of khakis. But although Kohl's cash, $100, that's gonna give me more than one pair of khakis.
That's true.
So I probably got a pair of those khakis with a nice button down, nice Land's End button down. And I probably still have some money left over, so I get a nice pair of white socks with the gold toe. And I'm in business.
With the gold toe. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I thought you'd say some kind of sweater vest or something, you know?
A cardigan. A cardigan would be nice. I mean, can you just walk into Kohl's and get a cardigan off the shelf? I don't know that that's something that they're – but yes, if they had a nice cardigan, I would snatch that up 10 times out of 10.
All right, last question from our listeners. Give us some of the most memorable plays throughout your career, any level. What sticks out as some of the most memorable plays?
Probably some of the throws to Kyle as receiver, I would think.
Yeah, eighth grade, that audible against Hudsonville in October. I think it was week – it was a six-game season. I think it was week five. Okay. Wow. It was a Wednesday night game under the lights. And our audible was to say the initial of the person's first name and then the number of the route because our routes were numbered. So the famous audible was K9, which would be Kyle on a go route. And I audible wow. K9 and we threw a touchdown to Kyle into a corner of an end zone at our middle school field where they ran out of room such that that corner actually wasn't flat. It went up. So Kyle's catching the touchdown in the corner of that end zone,
running
like
up a hill.
2 feet above the guy guarding him who's below the mound, but he's still in bounds.
It height was advantage.
Middle school football at its finest. Incredible. When you have a corner of an end zone, just go up. So there was, that was a memorable moment. Certainly going 9-0 freshman year of high school. We won in overtime on a fourth and 10 and a 2-point conversion my senior year over Greenville.
Oh,
I'll still
gosh.
Run into people. I'll still run into people from Greenville, from that community, and they'll see me and they'll say, the 2006 game, overtime, you went for two. I'm like, oh, I'm glad it meant as much to you as it does to me because that sticks with me forever. Right. It's funny too because like you've played in games on national TV and you know in college, the NFL, and you've had 70,000 mm-hmm. people in the stands and millions more on TV, and yet the rush of beating Greenville on a 2-point conversion in 2006 in front of 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Was just as high as hitting a Hail Mary against Wisconsin on national TV. Like, totally equal. The same rush. And that's why I always tell people, you can't beat high school football under the lights for your hometown. It's the best. But certainly a Hail Mary in college. And then in the pros, I mean, we've had a couple comeback games that were an absolute rush. And about every game in the pros is close. So they're all
the playoff game, the throw to Adam and then to Kyle.
The playoff win against the Saints in the Superdome was a blast. And reality is we got to have more of those up ahead. You know, we got to have more iconic moments here up ahead.
I had one more question that is both maybe a Marvel and a football question that maybe speaks to, you know, talking about iconic moments. You have, in fact, seen the Avengers. We've covered that. And you may or may not remember there's a moment at the end of the Avengers where everyone kind of is circled up and that's their, you know, the big theme is playing and it's a very triumphant thing that's echoed back throughout the MCU since. Based on your career, you know, from the beginning to now, if you had to pick a couple of players that you have worked with to be on your core team, your Captain America. You got five other folks you can bring on to be your you know, avenging football team.
Yep.
Who are some of those contenders for you?
Great question. This would truly be shooting from the hip. I've always told people when they ask me who my favorite receiver is, I say, well, it's like asking me, I have two boys, to pick my favorite son. I said, that's really hard to do. You know, you can't, it's hard to pick favorites. So with that as the precursor, can I go back? Because I mean, if I'm going back to high school, college, I've got some names, but you know, for the sake of just keeping it simple in the pros, you know, close friends, you got the Tom Comptons and the Adam Thielens and the Will Comptons. Those are like your buddies, Kedrick Golston. But like players on the field, you know, it's hard to beat Justin Jefferson. It's hard to beat Jordan Reed. So you kind of like get a melding of both of them where you got the guys who you were really close with off the field and the guys who are really good on the field. And it goes both ways. But I'll tell you this. I am still playing football because I've been able to play with some dudes. I've been able to play with some Avengers, if you will. And that's why I'm still able to play. So thankfully, I've been with a few and hopefully there's a few more up ahead. But I wouldn't be where I am without them.
I love that's a perfect answer, and it's also why I think it is so fun to see what the next stage looks like because it's it if that's the experience you've had in the game so far, it makes sense why you are excited to keep that experience going.
Yeah,
I think we have a few more battles up ahead to keep with the allegory, and someday we're gonna finish. We're gonna drop. Instead of dropping a ring into Mordor, what I would like to do is receive a ring for winning a Super Bowl.
There you go.
And then
it spits it back out.
Yeah. And then take that back out with me away from Mount Doom. But someday return to my Shire. You know, and live out my days in my Shire in peace. And probably watch a lot of Steven Spielberg movies when I do that.
Wow.
There, this circle is my favorite takeaway from from today is
Steven
that,
Spielberg.
Well, because we joke about this in the house all the time. I'm a big Spielberg fan. But I'm also really curious to see if we're sticking to the allegory, if and when Kirk plays his ghost army card.
Oh, yeah.
Because that feel, you know, it's like, that's there. You know, is that still just in your pocket?
Yeah, I'm hoping that before I'm done playing, I have an aha moment and I realize, oh, I could have been doing this the whole time. Yeah. What am I doing?
Kirk's 41 years old, you know, and he waits till he's 41, then throws 60 TDs. Like, oh yeah, what was I waiting for this whole time?
I could have just been doing it.
Oh, I had that in my back pocket the whole time. Could have been doing this the whole time. Let's hope that shows up in my allegory.
Absolutely. I want nothing more. Thanks for your time, dude. You're the best. Best of luck this upcoming season. Man, oh gosh, can't wait.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks, guys.
Pretty fun. That was pretty fun.
Oh man, that was a ton of fun.
We have so many years of interesting conversations. I can't even begin to tell you all the crazy stories, but movies has always been the funniest thing because I've said he has no imagination. That's what frustrates me when we're like sitting in his house watching a movie, he wants it literal. So as soon as something at all requires him to imagine it, he's usually out. And I'm like, come on. That's where me and Kyle, his brother, are in lockstep usually. Right. But it leads to some really interesting conversations. That's for sure.
Well, and you know, I joke, but I do really enjoy those conversations because Kirk is, it's not like he's just writing off the genre in its entirety. You know, it's like he is willing to, like his answers show that he is engaging with it. These are the things that he appreciates. These are the places that he just kind of can't make the leap. And we all have those things in certain types of movies. And so to me, what I see there is a convert, you know, just waiting
for the right moment. I kid you not. People that don't know the life of an NFL quarterback, which is 99.9% of people, don't realize how absolutely slammed he is all year round. So when he says like he doesn't watch movies, it's true. Like sometimes we're not getting to his house post a home game until 2 a.m, like when he was in Washington. And so it's not like we're like, oh, let's quick throw on, you know, Lord of the Rings. So he really has such a small amount of time that he can do it. However, he has a, what does he call it? Like Mission 2030 or something like that, which is like eventually when he retires, here's all the crazy stuff we're going to do when I finally have free time eventually, whenever that is. I can't remember what it's called. But I really think if in the right setting, like me and a few friends, his brother, you know, lights out, maybe building some Legos with low light, like in the right setting, I think he would grow to appreciate the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I truly believe it's in there because I think he just hasn't, like you said, like watching it on a plane, not around other people that appreciate it. You're getting interrupted. There's some of the realism in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that DC doesn't have a lot of times that I think he'll he'll like. I think it's a convert.
Oh man,
waiting to happen.
If we're talking property damage,
Oh dude, Batman versus Superman, look out.
I like every punch takes out three buildings.
Correct.
I could see Kirk, even if it's something that has to be abbreviated, I could see him really connecting to at least like the main Avengers through line of the Infinity Saga and getting to Endgame and having a real reaction to the, because there's a lot of Lord of the Rings energy to the final scenes within Endgame, I think. And if you connect to that kind of like good versus evil overcoming, you know, adversity moment.
Yep. Good versus evil would be a big one, man. I just got to say, I'm so grateful for him as a friend. He has been, he's such a good person and he's so kind and generous. He's meant a ton to me. And so this actually came about, even though this has nothing to do with football, you know, this podcast, but he just randomly called me, I think a week ago and said, I'm ready to come on Friends from Work. I'm going to come on with a humble spirit. I'm ready to be humbled by the community to tell me what I'm missing. And I'm like, well, we're not going to get into it, but you're definitely welcome to come on here. So I'm really grateful for him and I'm grateful for him doing that. That was fun. we're getting back on track with our rewatch journey with Black Panther Wakanda Forever. So if you want to watch that this weekend, we're going to be talking about it next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for sharing. We'll see you right back here on Friends From Work.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.